Who decides when the war should end?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Bob Moon. It was a weekend of war protests in cities around the country, and this week, Senate Democrats hope to start debate on a non-binding measure opposing President Bush's planned troop increase in Iraq. Tomorrow, the Senate Judiciary Committee holds a hearing on whether Congress has the constitutional authority to cut off funding for the war. Nancy Marshall Genzer reports.
Wisconsin Democrat Russ Feingold set the stage for tomorrow's hearing last week.
The latest taboo is that we can't talk about using the power of the purse, that somehow we're going to endanger the troops.
Feingold says it is possible to safely draw down troops, but Steve Kosiak of the Center for Strategic and Budgetary Assessment says it's too late to be playing with the power of the purse.
It's not a choice of between sending the troops or not sending the troops. It's between providing funding for troops that are already there or not supporting the troops.
But Lawrence Korb of the Center for American Progress says Congress has other options.
What they would say is that after date certain, you can't have more than so many troops in Iraq unless you get permission from us to raise the cap.
Korb says nuanced measures like that are popular because many lawmakers fear even the appearance of not supporting the troops is political suicide. In Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall Genzer for Marketplace.
British Airways and its cabin crew union are still bargaining down to the wire. Whatever happens, the airline already plans to ground 1,300 flights to and from London airports tomorrow and Wednesday when flight attendants are set to walk off the job. One of the world's biggest drug companies is accused of distorting results of some clinical trials. According to an investigative report by the BBC, there were early warnings that a treatment for depression made by GlaxoSmithKline might actually make things worse for younger patients. Marketplace's Stephen Beard reports from London.
The BBC claims that Glaxo suppressed evidence that Ceroxat can be harmful. Clinical trials showed that the antidepressant made some children feel suicidal, says the broadcaster. But Glaxo went ahead with the drug nevertheless. The BBC has seen a series of internal company documents released by an American court order. Bereaved families whose children took Ceroxat and subsequently killed themselves are suing Glaxo in the US. The BBC makes other claims, among them that Glaxo lent on so-called independent academics to endorse Ceroxat. Glaxo refutes the allegations. The company says it utterly denies that it has improperly withheld drug trial results. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
The Dow will start trading today at 12,487, trying to put the brakes on some downhill momentum. The Dow, the NASDAQ, and the S&P 500 each lost more than 0.5% for the week. The NASDAQ opens at 2435. The S&P 500 is at 1422. How's this for an Only in America story? We've heard how the Super Bowl means Super Bucks when it comes to the go-all-out TV ads during the game. Well, now it's come to this. Some of the websites where people can go to catch the ads they might have missed or might want to see again are now cashing in by selling ad time. That's right. You'll have to sit through those ads before you can watch the actual Super Bowl ads.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Reuters, the world's daily news and information source. Before it's news, it's Reuters. Conversations from the Corner Office, Dialogues with Top CEOs, is supported by the Society for Human Resource Management, HR, leading people, leading organizations, shrm.org.
The boss will see you now.
Another installment now of our occasional series, Conversations from the Corner Office. What started out as a 9-stool root beer stand in Washington, D.C., has grown into the world's largest lodging company. Marriott International runs thousands of properties around the world. Chairman and CEO Bill Marriott has been at the helm of the company for 35 years. He sat down recently with Marketplace's Kai Rizdahl at the company's headquarters outside the nation's capital.
Is there a way for you to figure out what your name is worth, what the brand Marriott is worth?
Well, I guess the stock price is probably the best way.
Yeah, it's the easiest one, though. What's the hard way to figure it out?
Well, I don't know. The customer satisfaction, we measure customer satisfaction, and we know that we continue to increase year over year. We're a management company. We don't own our hotels. We manage for investors and for other people. Customer satisfaction drives our growth. If we're doing a great job for the customers, then we find that owners and property owners want to develop more Marriott hotels.
Marriott used to, though, be an owner of the actual properties.
That's right.
And you decided you didn't want to do that anymore. Why?
We decided we could not grow this company to 3,000 hotels, which we'll have at the end of this year, by owning all of our own hotels. And we knew that the power of the brand is in the distribution, the number of units you have in any city, state, or any country, and we couldn't get the distribution unless we did some franchising and we did the rest on management contracts.
Marriott has very pointedly gone from the less expensive end of the spectrum with the Fairfield Inns and those sorts of establishments all the way up to Ritz-Carlton. You guys did that on purpose to capture every single slice of the lodging market.
Right.
I bet if you walked to downtown Washington and asked people if they knew that Marriott owned Ritz-Carlton, they'd say, no, really?
They don't know it.
Does that bother you at all?
No, that's what we want. We don't want them to know it.
Why is that?
Because we believe Ritz-Carlton is a strong enough brand on its own. It does not need the Marriott umbrella. And we have a distance between the brands that's very important. The Ritz-Carlton headquarters is not in this building.
You are at this company experimenting with something that I think is called the reinvention of the lodging experience. It's based on what I've read. New music, new lighting, aromatherapy. Describe a night in a Marriott hotel for me 10 years from now.
Well, a lot of this change that we're bracing is taking place in the lobby. In the future, and the lobbies are going to become places of activity, places where people are going to dine together, drink together, meet together, work together, and where people are going to be by themselves working. So the restaurant's going to become part of the lobby, the bar's going to become part of the lobby, and it's all going to interconnect in what we call the great room.
Mr. Marriott, thanks a lot for your
time.
Thank
you.
You can find more of Kai's interview with Bill Marriott at our website, marketplace.org. Click on Conversations from the Corner Office. I'm Bob Moon in Los Angeles. Thanks for being with us.
American Public Media.
They say
the world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.